Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, the Christ. Amen. Well, this Advent season, as I said at the beginning of the service, I'd love to look with you, like to look with you at the theme of angels, spirits, and how active they were in the Christmas event when our Lord Jesus came down to earth. And what do you think about angels? How active are they in our lives? What can we know about them? They were super active. We can see, unlike any other time in Scripture, at the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh when he arrived down from heaven to this earth to save us. Just as a quick example here, you could look, for example, there in Malachi, the last word from the Old Testament, one of the last things God said about 400 or so B.C., he says, Malachi 4, verse 5, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." And then after that word came from Malachi, there was silence in prophetic revelation for 400 and some years until the very next thing happened was an angel came down in the days of here, Luke chapter 1, of Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. He was a priest. He went into the temple, and it says, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense." And he announces the birth, coming birth of John the Baptist. And what is the word here? "He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." So fulfilling that word from Malachi chapter 4. And then just a short time later, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin. That's Mary, and announces the birth of Jesus. And then Joseph gets a visitation. He's over here in Matthew chapter 1. It says, you know, he wasn't sure to take whether to take Mary as his wife or to divorce her quietly. But he actually considered this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Don't be afraid to take her for as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she's going to give birth to the Savior." Then we have an angel appear to the wise men, the Magi from the East, sometime a little after Jesus' birth, when they are warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So there's another angel. And then we have angels also in Luke chapter 2 appearing here. You know that well. It says, in that region there were shepherds out in the field, and they got a visitation by night. Suddenly the whole sky was opened up, and the glory of angels, a company, a chorus of them were all around, and the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for I have good news, bring you good news of great joy. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So how active were angels in Jesus' birth? I mean, unlike any other time in Scripture, we see them in Scripture, but they are just all over the place in Scripture. I would liken that to the D-Day invasion of Europe. You know, there is just super activity going on for the advent of the landing on the beach, where Americans and the Allies were going to come and liberate Europe. Well, there was super activity amongst the angels and great joy as Jesus was landing on the beaches of this world to liberate the world, and set us free from sin and death. So let's take a look. We'll look more at those specific instances in the weeks to come. But let's take a look at angels in general. Just see if we can understand some things about them from God's holy word, the Scriptures. First of all, I would ask this question. Who are they, or what are they? Well, for that, let's take a look over here. I'll turn to Luke chapter 24. This is the day of Jesus' resurrection. And we read there in verse 36, as the disciples were talking, Jesus himself stood among them, and they were startled and frightened, for they supposed that they saw a spirit. Okay, they thought they were seeing an angel. He said, "Why are you troubled? Why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and feet. Handle me, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see that I have." So what can you learn there? A spirit is a living creature, but it doesn't have flesh and bones. You can't touch it like you can touch us. It's made of spirit. What is spirit? I can't really give you an answer to that. I know that you have a spirit and I have a spirit. When we die and our flesh goes into the earth, our spirit goes to God. So we actually have a spirit as well. But these are spirits without a physical body. They have a body, but it's a spiritual body. And so there's something we learn about them. How about this? Where do they live? Where are our angels? Well, they're in the heavens above. They're also in the lower regions below us, some of the bad ones. And they are on this plane as well, namely earth. But we can't see them. They live in invisible places. For that, let's look at a negative example here, if you will, from Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul's talking about fighting against the devil. He says, take the whole armor of God. Do you do that? That you may be able to withstand stand against the wiles of the devil. For we're not contending against flesh and blood, bones, you know, but against principalities, against powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Where do they live? Heavenly places, ethereal air, different dimension, but still here amongst us, but on a plane that we cannot see them. Do you believe that? You think that there are angels around us right now? Surrounding even in this room, are there angels more than are there our flesh and blood in this room? Are there actual spirits, do you think, guarding, protecting the preaching of the word, keeping off evil spirits, furthering the word and the gospel preached? That's their mission. How old are angels? That's an interesting question, isn't it? They're not like we are, just, you know, a young buck of 46 years, you know. They're around for quite some time. We read there in Job, God, you know, chastises Job, puts him in his place, and he with these words. He said, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, Job, says God to Job. Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. What do you see there about the creation of the world, the foundation of it? Who was there? God? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the sons of God, angels. When God created this world, the angels were there rejoicing in God's work, the wonders of creation. So they're at least 6,000 plus years old. The devil was there in the Garden of Eden, remember? And he's still around, so they're 6,000 plus years old. I can't say how much older they are than that, because God made the heavens and the earth invisible and visible realms, as we say in the Nicene Creed. All right, so we know how old they are generally. Why are they invisible? Why can't we see angels? I don't really have an answer for you for that, except that God doesn't want us focusing on angels. He wants us focusing on Him and walking by faith and not, as yet, right now, by sight. So you can't actually see the angels, although occasionally they do reveal themselves. Such as in the Christmas story, or in the Sodom and Gomorrah story, or at various points, there are people that have seen evil spirits that have been in the occult. There are people who have seen, they believe, actual angels that have appeared to them in their lives and then vanished to help them out in a particular situation. How many do you think you'd see right now if you were to have your eyes unlocked and opened and be able to see? Huh? Let's take a look at a story that talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. How might you be encouraged if your eyes were able to see these kinds of things? And guess what? You can see them by faith today. But here's a story where Elisha, who was a great prophet in the Old Testament days, was totally messing with the king of Syria, because the king of Syria wanted to destroy Israel, and every time he makes a plot and a plan, Israel is right there beating him into the punch. He's like, how are they doing this? Will not someone tell me who's against me and a traitor in my midst? And one of them says, well, there's a prophet in Israel. His name's Elisha, and he knows the secrets that you speak in your bedchamber, and he tells it to the king of Israel. So he's always a step ahead of us. Well, let's go get Elisha. Go get Elisha. So he sends a great army down to smite and destroy this one man who keeps confounding his plans. And we read that he sent their horses and chariots and a great army. They came by night and surrounded the city where Elisha was. Well, early in the morning, Elisha's servant gets up. And he looks out. Oh, behold, an army, horses, chariots, round about the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? We're surrounded. And Elisha said, fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The servant's like, what do you mean? Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Isn't that fantastic? Can you imagine his eyes and your eyes open to see? Chariots of fire. I mean, these guys got physical horses. I'd prefer the chariots of fire, wouldn't you? Not the movie, the people, the spirits. I mean, powerful super army. When you say Lord of hosts in the Bible, that's Lord of armies. The angels in great array, powerful. If your eyes could see right now, do you think on your way home today you'd see angels flying over your car or sitting with you beside the seat or guarding you and protecting you in your ways? Well, what are the purposes of angels? What do they do? Well, it depends on whether they're good, the bad, or the ugly. Well, the good or the bad, the elect or the evil, because there are two kinds. There are those who are of God and there are those who are of the evil one. Where do you get the evil ones? Where did you get demons? Did God just create them in the start? We read there that, you know, after Satan fell from his position, it says, another portent appeared in heaven. This is Revelation 12. Behold, a great red dragon. And he had 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems upon his head. Great authority. His tail swept down 1/3 of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Who is that? Other angels that rebelled with him. 1/3 of the angelic hosts. And we read there was war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels, that's the good side, fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan. He's thrown down to the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him. Where do we get the evil spirits? They rebelled against God. They were good. But they left their proper dwelling, their proper position, as Jude says. And some of them have been kept in the nether gloom, the dark lower regions, in prison and chains, to be kept until the judgment of the great day. And they're cast down to the earth. Some are many, thousands, roaming about the earth, creating. And what do they do? What do the evil spirits do? I think Peggy would know this word really well. For John chapter 10, they come, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's actually spoken of false shepherds in John 10, but it's the evil spirits that inspire them. They do the same thing. Evil spirits are there to steal from you, to lie to you, to deceive you, to kill you, and to destroy. And you can see the destruction in people's lives around the world, the destruction in wars, the destruction through drugs and alcohols and lies and false beliefs and false gospels and counterfeit Christs. This is all inspired by things going on in spiritual realms. So there's the evil angels. But what about the good angels? What are their purposes? Well, think about the name. Satan, his name means what? What does Satan mean in Hebrew? Huh? Adversary, he who comes against you. Devil, diabolos, is the word deceiver, accuser of the brethren, right? So his name means what he does. What does Gabriel mean, who appeared to Mary and probably to Zechariah? Gabriel means, God is my strength. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you love to have an angel whose name was that? God is my strength. Super, he's like probably about the highest angel. Then there's Michael. What does his name mean? That's my middle name, by the way. What's Michael mean? He's a great angel. He fought against the devil. Remember, we just read that in Revelation 12. It means he who is like God. What do your angels' names mean that are watching over you? Do you know that you have angels? What is their purpose? Psalm 91 says, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you will tread upon serpents and scorpions, etc. So in other words, the good angels are there to do what? To guard you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Remember the devil, when he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, he used that scripture trying to say, throw yourself down from here, Jesus, for it's written. Jesus says, oh no, that's not the scripture for standing on top of the temple. But so they're there to guard you. They're keeping you. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, I think it is, that take care that you don't harm one of these little ones, for their angels are always beholding the face of my Father who's in heaven. Do you have guardian angels? Are the ones assigned to you specifically? They guard you. They protect you. They deliver messages, as was the case with Gabriel. They sometimes come to you in dreams. I'll share with you in the future weeks a dream I had recently. It was kind of amazing. Maybe that was from an angel. They fight for you. Here's a beautiful word, an insight from Daniel chapter 10. Daniel had a vision, and a man came to him in bright apparel, and his hand touched me and set me on my knees, on my hands and knees, trembling. And he said, Daniel, man greatly beloved, give heed to the words that I speak to you. Stand upright, for now I've been sent to you. And I stood up trembling. He said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your mind before and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I've come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia and came to you to make you understand what is to befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for yet days to come. What's that teach you about the invisible realms? What's going on? Daniel prays, and from the moment he humbled himself, God sent an angel. In fact, Gabriel, the same guy, the same spirit who comes to Zechariah, I believe, and then to Mary in the New Testament. Here he is, 500 years before, talking with Daniel. He came instantly as soon as Daniel was praying, but he couldn't get to him right away. Why? The prince of Persia, a super evil prince over that kingdom and that empire, withstood him. So they had a great wrestling match up there in the heavenlies, fighting this way and that. And then he was having trouble getting to Daniel. But then he says, the other archangel, Michael, came and he says, he joined the fight. He says, I'll take care of this guy. You go deliver the message to Daniel. And off he goes and he comes down. He says, now I can deliver you to this message. It's been 21 days. Isn't that amazing? These things are going on. Every time, every day, every second of your lives, over in the heavenly realms, and it works through prayer. Give prayer and praise and humbling yourself to God, for God will send his angels to guard you, keep you, fight for you, and strengthen you. Would you like strength today? Raise your hand. You don't want strength? I know. It's hard to raise your hand. But we want strength. Jesus was in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's about to be betrayed. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. And then it says, then there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Would you like an angel to come down to you and be, you know, you're afraid, you're weak, and all of a sudden he's with you, he touches you, and you're like, boom, and you go off into your life? Well, God sends his angels to do this. Pray. And they deliver, like the angel that delivered Peter out of prison. He was about to be killed the next day. Herod was about to bring him out to the people to kill him. The angel comes and Peter's sleeping between two sentries, two guards, and the angel slaps him. Peter falls on his, he says, dress yourself, get up quickly. Gets up and he leads them out past the guards, and then the gate opens to them of its own accord. He walks them out and then the angel vanishes in the street. And he knows that an angel of the Lord delivered him from... So the angel delivers you. Aren't they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to obtain salvation? Have you ever seen an angel? Do you guys think? Take care, says Hebrews. Some have entertained angels unawares. You didn't even know it. I know in my life, I just tell you one thing. I had this car accident 2 weeks before my marriage, almost 20 years ago. Just a week or couple weeks ago. And I'll tell you, two trucks collided ahead of me on my road home. And then the other one came on my side, a huge Acme truck, laundry truck. And I tried to get out of the way, pulled off the road, and it came this way and turned right in, slammed my driver's side door. I went 11 or 12 feet in the air, slammed into a tree, car shattered, glass everywhere, everything destroyed 2 weeks before my wedding. The axle broke in my car. And I remember looking around, and the police came, and they're like, "Where's the man that was in this car? Where's the man that was in this car?" "Here I am." He was like, "How could you?" I came out without a scratch. Do you think an angel did that? Do you think God sent an angel to protect me and guard me in all my ways, lest a windshield or a truck smash against me? You know, God protected me in that day, and God is doing that with you, with angels. So how active are they in your life? Much more than you know. They're super active, and they work through your prayers. So be diligent in prayers and humbling yourselves. And they're very, very active in the Christmas story. You see them there with Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the Magi and the shepherds, and they're just super active also with us today. Last thing I'll say is this. What does the angel want you to think about Christmas? If you're a demon, I mean, if demons want you to focus on them, worship us, get your eyes off Jesus, look over and follow us into destruction. Elect angels say, don't even look at us. Don't worry about us. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And let's heed that good word from the angels. In Jesus' name, amen.